If you put a basketball in my hand this morning, it would probably only be worth about $25 or whatever the basketball cost. I mean, we could have a fun game back in the gym, but the basketball would still only be worth about $25 in my hand. But if you put that same basketball in the hand of LeBron James or in Michael Jordan, it would turn into millions of dollars. The dollars they get for playing the 38 minutes they play per game, plus all the endorsements they get for handling that basketball. Again, in my hands, it's just a kid's game, but in their hands, it's big business. Put a baseball bat in my hand, and it might be an equalizer if a prowler tries to slip into our condo at night, but in my hand, in a game, it would be dangerous, because I'd either pull a muscle or strain my back, but I might hit the ball every now and then, but in my hand, that bat would only be worth about whatever bats go for now, 30, 40 bucks. But you put that bat in the hand of a Mike Trout or a Miguel Cabrera, and again, it turns into millions of dollars. Put a golf club in my hand, and you have a comedy. I've only played a real game of golf one time. I recorded 150 strokes through 9 holes and only counted half of them. My uncle, who was trying to teach me how to play, said, "You ought never to play this game again." And I never have. I felt like the golfer. I read about a golfer that hit 6 straight balls into a pond. He got so mad, he picked up his bag and threw it in the pond and stomped off. A few minutes later, he came back, took his shoes off, waded into the pond, got his golf bag, took the keys out of the pocket where he kept the thing, and then threw it back in and stomped off to his car. If you play golf with me, that's probably what you'll do, so don't do it. And yet that same golf club in the hands of a Phil Mickelson or a Tiger Woods is no longer just a game, it's $1 million enterprise. It just depends on whose hands hold the basketball or hold the baseball bat or the golf club. In my hand, a small lunch of 2 fishes and 5 loaves would be just a lunch. But in Jesus' hand, it would be a meal for 5,000 men and all the women that were gathered that day as well, with 12 baskets left over. In my hand, a slingshot would be just a toy. But in the hand of David, it became a mighty weapon used to deliver a nation. In my hand, a nail might help me build a birdhouse or a doghouse. In Jesus' hand, that nail brings salvation to the entire world. This morning I preach on the subject, in the Master's hand. In the Master's hand. And I want to ask you some questions this morning. Whose hands hold your life? Whose hands hold your talents? Whose hands hold your marriage? Whose hands hold your children? Whose hands hold the opportunities that God has given you? And this morning, I want you to place all of those things in the Master's hands. Now, I don't have much time. I have 3 points and then a poem I want to read. So I want you to listen. These are important truths that will change your life if you'll let them. Number one, I want to become a master of those opportunities that God has placed in my hand. I want to be a master when it comes to those things. He hasn't put a basketball in my hand. He's given me a Bible. He hasn't put a baseball bat in my hand. He's given me the gospel. He hasn't put a golf club in my hand. He's given me a wife and children and grandchildren and a pulpit. And I want to be a master at those things that God has put in my life. When I look at other people's marriages, when I look at other people's children and grandchildren and how they're raising those children and grandchildren, when I look at how other people spend time and read their Bible, and when I look at other people and see the time that they spend in prayer and in the prayer closet, I don't want to look at them and say, "Hey, I wish I had a marriage like them." I don't want to look at them and say, "Hey, I wish I spent more time with my kids and my grandkids." I don't want to look at them and say, I wish I spent more time in my Bible. I don't want to look at them and say, I wish I spent more time in prayer. No, I want to be the master of those things that God has put in my life. I want to be the LeBron James of Bible reading. I want to be the Cabrera of parenting. I want to be the Tiger Woods of preaching. I want to be a master of those things that God has put in my life. Now, I ask you, what's God put in your life? Maybe he's given you a Sunday school class or a Bible class. Be a master of it. He's put children and grandchildren in your life. Be a master of raising those children and influencing those children. Maybe he's put some other talent, the talent to sing or the talent to play or the talent to serve in some way. Whatever talent, whatever opportunity God has put in your life, resolve that you want to be a master of that opportunity. Resolve that you want to do your best in that opportunity with God's help. Resolve that you don't want anybody to be better in those areas than yourself. Be a master. Number two, I realize that I cannot become a master until I place those things that God has given me in his hands. Again, you put a golf club in my hand. It's a waste of time. It's a travesty. And yet, if I had a Phil Mickelson come and put his hands around my hands and show me how to swing and hit the ball, I might be able to do a little bit better. I doubt it, but maybe I could. If I had a baseball bat in my hand. Again, you send a little boy or a little girl out to play baseball, and you pitch to them, and you say, just swing, hit it as hard as you can, and maybe they'll hit one or two. But if you get somebody else to pitch, and you go wrap your hands around their hands on that bat and say, hey, let me show you how to swing. Let me show you how to hit. They'll have a better chance of hitting that ball. Too many of us are playing basketball with LeBron James and Michael Jordan, and we're telling them how to shoot the basketball. Too many of us are playing baseball with the Mike Trouts and the Cabreras of the world, and we're telling them how to swing. Too many of us are playing golf with Tiger Woods or Phil Mickelson, and we're telling them how they should play golf. What we're saying is, and here's what I mean by that, we have a resource, we have a God, our Creator God, who made us, who gave us our marriages, who gave us our kids, who gave us His Word, who gave us prayer, who gave us everything in our life, says, I can help you, and I want to help you. And as you are a husband, and as you are a wife, as you are a parent, as you are a parent, he says, look, I will wrap my hands around you. I will put my hands on your hands, and I will help you be that husband, and I will help you be that wife, and I will help you be that parent, and I will help you be that grandparent. I will help you be that Sunday school teacher. I will help you do anything in your life that I've given you to do if you just put them in my hands. I will help you become a master. A guy was driving his Model T Ford, and it broke down, as Fords always do. You know what Ford stands for, right? Fix or repair daily. So he was pulled over to the side of the road. The hood was up. He was underneath the hood tinkering with it. Another Model T folds up. And by the way, if you own a Ford, you're okay. Don't worry about it. GM cars break down just as much as Fords. But anyhow, he was on the side of the road. He had his head underneath the hood. He was tinkering with the engine, trying to figure out what was wrong. Another Model T pulls up behind him. An old gray-haired man gets out of the car, comes up beside the hood and said, hey, could I help you, sir? And the young man looked at this old man and didn't have any respect for him at all. He said, what do you know about cars? You're an old guy. You probably don't know nothing about cars. I'll fix this myself. Some of you are smiling. You've already heard the story. That old man was Henry Ford. He was the one that made that Model T. He was the one that understood it better than anybody else. Listen, who do you think created your marriage? You didn't. God did. Who do you think created and made you a parent and a grandparent? You didn't. God did. You wouldn't be a parent if God didn't want you to be a parent. You wouldn't be a grandparent if God didn't want you to be a grandparent. God did. Who do you think knows more about rearing children and influencing children and grandchildren than God does? Nobody. Nobody. Who do you think knows more about your job or your Sunday school class or knows more about every opportunity that he's put in your hand? Nobody knows more about that than God does. And it's only when we submit to him, it's only when we let him put his hand around our hands to teach us, to guide us, that we will ever become a master of the opportunities that God has given us. So again, I ask, whose hands hold your life? Whose hands hold your marriage? Whose hands hold your children? Whose hands hold you? You hang on to them all by yourself, it'll be like my golf game. It'll be a disaster. But if you put them in the master's hands, you can become a master of the opportunities that God has given you. The rod in Moses' hand was just a stick. But when Moses let God put his hand around his, that stick became the finger of God. It parted the Red Sea. It brought water out of the rock. It brought victory in battle. It brought up frogs and lice and delivered a nation from bondage. When Moses put that rod that he held in his hands in the hands of God, that lunch that little boy brought that day in his hands was just a small, small lunch. But when he put it in Jesus' hands, it became a miracle that fed thousands. The slingshot in David's hand, hey, he was pretty good at it. He killed a bear and he killed a lion with it. But when he yielded it to God, it became a mighty weapon that not only killed a giant, but delivered a people from the Philistines. Every miracle in the Bible that involved a man in some way took an ordinary, common man with an ordinary, common thing and put them in the hands of an extraordinary God. And he's the one that worked the miracle. It just depends on whose hands holds them. Number three, I want to place my soul's eternal destiny in the hands of the Master Savior. Amen. I want to place my soul, and I want to place my eternal destiny in the hands of Jesus Christ. Only a fool would try to do it themselves. There's no price that man can pay to make themselves right with God. There's no price that man can pay to get their soul into heaven. There's no merit in our hands. There's no redemption in our hands. That redemption only comes through the hands of Jesus Christ. Don't trust your salvation and your eternity to the hands of other men's. Don't trust the Pope. Don't trust the priest. Don't trust the bishop. Don't trust the Baptist preacher. Don't trust the TV evangelist. Don't trust the faith healer. None of them, none of them, none of them can cause a soul to go to heaven. You need to put it in the hands of Christ. And he'll say to each person that does that, he'll say to them what he did to that thief on the cross that hung beside him, hey, I'm going to take you with me to paradise. I'm going to take you with me to heaven. We read there from John, from the book of John, about Jesus putting us in his hand. And he said, no man can get you out of my hand. And he says, my Father's hand is stronger than mine, and nobody can get you out of my Father's hand. I like to think of the picture. When I get saved, I get placed in the hand of Jesus, and then God the Father wraps his hand around Jesus' hand. I want to tell you something, nothing can get in there. No one can get in there. Satan can't get in there. None of his demons can get in there. I can't even get in there. No man can get in there. I am safe and secure in the hand of the Master who nobody can get me out of. whose hand is your soul in this morning. If you're still holding on to it yourself, or if you've got your soul in the hands of somebody else, you're going to end up in hell. You're going to end up apart from God forever. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me." For it was battered and scarred, and the auctioneer felt it was hardly worth the while to waste much time on the old violin, but he held it up with a smile. "It sure ain't much, but it's all we've got left. I guess we ought to sell it too. Now who's got a bid on the old violin? Just one more, and we'll be through." And then he cried, "One, give me $1. Who'll make it two? Only $2. Who'll make it three? $3 twice, that's a good price. But who's got a bid for me? Raise up your hand, don't wait any longer. The auction's about to end. Who's got four? Just $1 more to bid on the old violin." The air was hot, and the people stood round, and the sun was setting low. In the back of the crowd, an old gray-haired man came forward, picked up the bow. He wiped off the dust from the old violin, then he tightened up the strings, and he played out a melody, pure and sweet, sweet as the angels sing. The music stopped, and the auctioneer, with a voice that was quiet and low, said, "What is my bid for this old violin?" as he held it up with the bow. And then he cried out, "One. Give me 1,000. Who'll make it two? Only 2,000. Who'll make it three? 3,000 twice. Now that's a good price. But who's got a bid for me?" The people called out, "What made the change? We don't understand." The auctioneer stopped and he said with a smile, "It was the touch of the master's hand." Amen. And you know, many a man with a life out of tune is battered and scarred with sin, and he's auctioned cheap to a thankless world, much like the old violin. Then the master comes, and the foolish crowd, they never understand the worth of a soul and the change that's wrought just by the touch of the master's hand. The master wants to hold you in his hand this morning. Your life may be scarred by sin, and you have no hope without him. But Jesus said, "You come to me. You trust me. You accept and believe what I did for you on Calvary. And I'll take that soul that's scarred and battered with sin, and we'll play sweet music together on your way to heaven." Whose hand holds your life? Whose hand holds your marriage? Whose hand holds your children? Whose hand holds you? I invite you this morning to put all of them, all of it, put you and all that you have and all that you are into the master's hand. And you can be a master of the opportunities that Christ has given you. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for sending Jesus to die in our place. And I pray for that one or two that may be here this morning that still is accountable for their sin, still is under the condemnation of sin because they've never come and received what Jesus purchased for them on Calvary. I pray, Holy Spirit, this morning you would convict them. You would first of all show them that they are a sinner, and then you would show them that there's no way they can pay for that sin themselves, but that Jesus paid everything they owe. On Calvary's cross, he paid the complete and total price of sin. And if they come, they just come and trust him and receive what he did for them on Calvary, they'd be saved from the penalty of that sin. They'd have a relation. They'd be one of your children. They'd have a relationship with you, and they'd have a home in heaven to look forward to. I pray for the many Christians that are here. Help us to stop living our life apart from you. Help us to place everything you put into our life, all the blessings that you put into our life, all the opportunities that you put into our life. Help us to say, "Father, would you wrap your hands around mine? Would you help me be a better husband or wife? Would you help me be a better parent or grandparent? Would you help me just be a better Christian? Help us to be a master of the opportunities you've given us. Bless this time of invitation. Speak to our hearts, Holy Spirit. If we need to do something this morning, whether we need to come and let somebody help us ask Jesus to be our Savior, whether we need to come and confess some sin in our life that we need to get rid of, or whether we just need to come and tell you that we love you this morning, help us to do that. For it's in Christ's name I pray. Amen.